I want to go to a couple more audio clips of Vigano, the Archbishop Vigano, because he is really laying it down, folks. He's really laying it down and saying what's happening. And I'm not going to play a bunch of the clips I played last night. I want to play a lot of the new clips. So I think I have not played clip 9. So let's go with clip 9 by Vigano, the Archbishop, and see what he's going to say here. Here's clip 9.
I believe that it is important to open people's eyes, showing them the deception we are facing. It is a deception based on false premises, artfully created and imposed in a dogmatic way to legitimize false solutions that have already been planned and implemented. The pandemic was intended to impose a social control that under normal condition would be rejected with disdain by the masses, but which, thanks to the media terrorism and the complicity of doctors, politicians, magistrates, and law enforcement agencies, could be introduced in many nations and even in the ecclesiastical institution themselves. In Santa Marta, the resident where Bergoglio lives, one cannot eat at the cafeteria without a green pass. And in many Catholic schools and universities, the vaccines is required for all staff and students. Soon, they will ask us for the vaccine passport in order to travel, to enter public offices, to vote, and to go to church. I want to be very clear on this point. Without understanding the dimension of the problem, without understanding really the dimension of this problem, without recognizing its author and discerning its aims, we will never be able to get out of it.
All right, I guess I did play that one last night, but I think that was good for new folks who did not see last night's TV show that will be posted later tonight at WVWTV.com. As you know, I do a show every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time and have since 2015. I'm going through a series entitled The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset. The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset. Last night was TV show number 3 in that series. And I played these clips after I found them yesterday because he, the Archbishop Vigano, is talking about the Great Reset and how this has all been planned and this is what they're doing. So that gives you an idea. Let me now go to one I have not played for you. This is clip number 10. Watch this.
The response to a seasonal flu has consisted in prohibition of effective treatment and the imposition of experimental therapies with new gene technologies, with, why not curing the consequences of the virus, causes genetic modifications and side effects, heart attacks and myocarditis, death of people otherwise healthy or who could recover with the treatment available. And to this, he added, like an infernal ritual, the use of a gene sharing made with aborted fetuses, as if to renew the human sacrifice of the pagans, a new twist of health, propitiating the coming new order with the life of innocence.
Wow. Gene serum used with aborted fetuses like a sacrifice of the pagans. I'm writing this all down so I have notes later. And it's part of the New World Order. It's a ritual of the New World Order, really. Now, notice he used the word New World Order. He's using the words of the globalist. He's using the words of George H. Bush. He's using the words of Henry Kissinger. He's using the words of former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Brown. He's using the word New Order of occultist, New Age occultist, Alice Bailey. He's using their words when he says New World Order, because that's what they called it. Notice he says they are prohibiting effective treatment. We know what will fix the problem. We know that you can use ivermectin, you can use HCQ, you can use zinc, that they, so the Zelenko protocols, my friend Dr. Zelenko, who again I ask you guys to pray for, who's fighting cancer, Dr. Zelenko, his peer-reviewed protocols show that the HCQ opens a cell, the zinc gets in and kills the virus. But no, we're not going to use that. Instead, we're going to use things that we know will kill the patients. The protocols are killing the patients, doctors are telling us. So we're going to prohibit effective treatment, but then we're going to give them a vaccine that's not really a vaccine, that has all of these side effects, he says, which he's right about, including pericarditis, inflammation of the heart, and these other things. Brain bleeds, strokes, blood clots. And to make matters worse, you now include a gene serum used with aborted fetuses. Now, this is very interesting to me as a Protestant, evangelical, Bible-believing Christian, because I'm not Catholic. And yet here I sit as a Protestant listening to the Archbishop speaking more truth than the average Protestant pastor on the average Sunday morning in America today when it comes to this topic. If you listen to the average pastor's sermon in America since this whole thing broke out, the average pastor in America has no opinion on this. They've been completely silent for the most part. And if they haven't been silent, they have chosen to side with the propaganda and the media and the political correctness because they don't want to rock the boat. They enforced the mask, and now some of them are taking the shot, promoting the shot, because they have a congregation full of sheep who are being led astray by the brainwashing, by the propaganda, instead of being a shepherd. The pastor is proving he's not a shepherd, John 10, that he's a hireling, and he's now going to let his sheep literally be poisoned. I believe that's what's happening. We know that this shot, some of these shots, have in there that graphene oxide. We know that some of these shots, we don't know fully what's in some of these shots. But we certainly know, as the Archbishop just said, you got a gene serum that's used and developed with aborted fetus lines. And the average shepherd on the Protestant side is not being a shepherd. They're being a hireling because they don't want to upset people. They don't want to rock the boat because they're busy counting nickels and noses. If they cannot stand up to this Holocaust that's now growing and this lockdown and the destruction of the free market system and individual liberties and rights, do you think these are going to be the same pastors? Do you think these pastors are going to stand up when there's really serious persecution of Christians and conservatives? No, they will not. If they cannot run with horses, they will not be able to run with chariots. We look at the Holocaust and what was going on in Germany, and we say, how did that happen? How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, you're getting a front row look at how it happened. You end up with useful idiots in the pulpits, pansies in the pulpit who have no guts. And you want to know why church attendance is dropping? Because you have useful idiots standing there who can't apparently take a stand like this guy is doing. And as a Protestant, I'm saying, where are the Protestant leaders saying what the Archbishop Vigano is saying? No, 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 we don't have that. What we have is pansies. I mean, come on. Pansies like Robert Jeffress. I think that's what he is, a pansy. Never been a fan of Jeffress. Many reasons. First of all, he's out there telling him God told him to build a $100 million church. I highly doubt God told him diddly squat, much less to build a $100 million church. And I'm not sure that's what you got anymore there, Jeffress, is a, quote, church. There's a biblical definition for a pastor and a church, and I don't think you meet the biblical definition of a pastor. Therefore, you don't really have a church if you want to get down to biblical terms of what is a pastor and a church. You would be, I think, a hireling because you're the one running around saying, there is no justification for a religious exemption letter. And if you don't want to take the shot with the aborted fetuses in it, you better not take Pepto-Bismol and ibuprofen and, you know, whatever else he laid out. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, here's the Archbishop, though, saying what he's saying. But no, I don't see. I see Franklin Graham, who I've liked for a lot of years, running around. Thank God for the vax. It's a blessing. I remember one pastor there, the vax is a blessing. Yeah, aborted fetuses used to develop a line and something that's killed now, what, 20,000 plus Americans that we know of from the VAERS government reporting system with only 1% reporting. And we got 48,000 dead, according to a Medicare whistleblower. 48,000 dead, but they're not counting them as being dead from the vax because they died within the first 14 days and they don't consider you vaxxed if you die before the 14-day mark. And now we have a Medicare whistleblower saying, yeah, well, they got 48,000 dead from this, but they're not going to show that in the government reports. And we got, by the way, also showing 60% of those hospitalized have been fully vaccinated. And that number's low because they don't consider you fully vaccinated unless if you die within the first 14 days. But yet you got these Protestant pastors, so-called pastors, running around telling you that the vaccine is a blessing. Vigano calls this a global crime against humanity, murder. And so you want to ask yourself, well, how did the folks in Germany sit there and let that happen? The same way you're watching Americans sit here, including your pastor, so-called pastors, and politicians, and judges, and health officials sit here and let this happen. And nobody wants to say what House is saying other than a small group of us, because if you do, you're crazy. And just like the things I have told you now for decades in my books, about 14 of them, I guess, I've written now, oh, that's crazy talk, and then it happens. Oh, that's crazy talk, and then that happens. Like my book in 95, I told you there'd be social credit scores. That we would have emerging a big government, big business, fascism in America. That's crazy talk. This isn't hard to know. These people tell you what they're going to do. And when this is all over and we have reached into another part of history, people will look back and say, well, how did that happen in America? How did they let that happen around the world? They don't ever come back around and apologize and say, I'm sorry I was ridiculing you for trying to warn us. And so you want to know how what happened in Germany happened? You're watching it. And just like then, there were a lot of so-called pastors that went along to get along. And their church denominations and their church meetings actually had the swastika in their meetings. Went along with it. Well, you're going to see the same thing in America. And as a Protestant, I'm saying, where's the Protestant Vigano? Watch his next clip.
You've spoken to me on other occasions of the group called Freemasonry and of their interest in bringing some of these changes about. Can you discuss this? Thank you.
Freemasonry is the mystical body of Satan. Because Satan is the entity that it adores at its highest levels of initiation. The illumination which it promotes to its members consists in subjecting them to the cultic worship of a great architect, which shows its infernal features only when one is no longer able to turn back. The Enlightenment, like other philosophical movement, was the cultural and ideological instrument with which Freemasonry corrupted the European elites and mobilized the masses to rebellion against authority or sovereigns.
Now, this is very interesting, and he has quite a bit to say about Freemasonry. Now, this is a very interesting topic in itself, Freemasonry. And I've done quite a bit of study on Freemasonry. I actually produced a 1-hour DVD. Maybe tomorrow night I'll actually play for you. Let me check my schedule. Tomorrow night I might actually play for you I think it's probably about 45 minutes to 1 hour documentary, or I shouldn't say documentary, 45 minutes to 1 hour presentation from my Ozarks Worldview Weekend a few years ago by Dr. Ron Carlson. Dr. Ron Carlson was a dear, dear, dear friend of mine. Was on my TV show when I first launched it, on my radio show all the time, spoke at my conferences for me all over the country. Dr. Ron Carlson was an expert on Freemasonry, and he spoke for me at one of my Ozarks conferences because I asked him to on Freemasonry. I would like to play that for you tomorrow night. Logan, remind me of that. Because here is Archbishop Vigano warning about Freemasonry, and he goes on in other clips we'll get to in time to warn about the Freemasons and the Marxists, the Jesuits, working to take over the Vatican and this global order. Now, this is exactly what, and I showed you the clip or the quote last night. This is exactly what former Jesuit Malachi Martin warned about Freemasons. And I gave you last night the quote from the conference of the lodges, Freemason lodges from the Austrian lodges, French lodges, German lodges, these Freemasonry lodges in 1819 to 1820. And I gave you the direct quote last night saying how they, the Freemasons, intended to brainwash the clergy at a young age because those would be the ones in the future that would install for us a Marxist pope. And we would destroy the Catholic Church and Christianity, they said. They're going to destroy the Catholic Church and the Protestant world, the Freemasons. Now, here, that's what Malachi Martin was warning about in his books. A former Jesuit who couldn't stomach it anymore and resigned his commission, basically, went to New York, started publishing books. Best-selling books, by the way. New York Times best-selling books. I quoted a bunch from them last night. Now, Vigano is warning and says, look, this is Freemasonry is satanic. It's cultic worship. They worship some entity known as the Great Architect. They won't tell you the truth in Freemasonry until you have been initiated at a higher level, by which then it's too late to turn back. Now, some of you listening tonight say, well, I'm a Freemason, or I go to the lodge, or maybe you're saying my dad did, or my grandfather did. Well, let me tell you something. Albert Pike, one of the authorities of Freemasonry, and many of those other guys that you can read about, will openly tell you, and I'll try to find the quote here in front of me, that they do not tell you the truth until you are well up the chain of this occultic secret society. They admit that. So a lot of the people at the lower level are like, well, I don't see any of that in there. Well, you haven't gone far enough. Now, when Ron Carlson spoke for us on this topic, probably 2009, 2010, somewhere in there, Ron Carlson's resource table was directly next to mine. Because Ron and I were buddies, and I wanted his resource table next to mine. This is my conference. I could put who I want next to me, so I always put my buddy Ron right there. I also generally had the largest traffic because I was a conference promoter and speaker, and so they generally were coming to our table to ask questions and whatnot and buy resources because we had tons of resources at the time we would put out, and I wanted him to get the overflow traffic as well because he's my buddy and I'm going to take care of my buddy. Ron was quite a bit older than I am, and I heard Ron speak for the first time when I was in sixth or seventh grade, probably about seventh grade actually. Seventh grade, I heard Ron Carlson speak at my church for the first time. Little did I know, years later, he'd become a dear friend, and I would book him to speak for me at my conferences all over the country. He, by the way, wrote a great book, if you want to go online and read it. If you want to get it, Fast Facts on False Teachings. Fast Facts on False Teachings by Ron Carlson and Ed Decker. Ed Decker is a good friend of mine, too. And I watched after Ron got done, and I'll try to play that for you tomorrow night. I stood there watching Ron interact with grown men, one after the other. And I remember particularly three men. They did not know each other. They came to the conference separately. We had probably close to 2,000 people there. They came to the conference separately, but they were waiting in line to talk to Ron. At least two of the three men were in tears as they independently spoke to Ron, one after the other, and thanked him for his presentation and said that they were going to go home and resign from the Freemason Lodge, Freemasonry. That what Ron had presented, they knew to be true. And that when Ron then started bringing out the scripture and challenging them with the scripture as to how can you belong to this group, a group where you must put on a blindfold and kneel before the worshipful master and say that you are lost in darkness and need the light of Freemasonry to save you. That's an abomination. That's idolatry. This is occultism. And they said they knew what he was saying was true. They were challenged by the scripture. And these men, I stood there as three of these men, one after the other, apologized for being a member, thanked him, and said they were going home to resign. One of them said he had just installed his sons. He was going home to resign and get his boys out of this. Now, if you try to speak the truth about Freemasonry in the average Protestant church today, you will be run out the back door. Ron Carlson used to show up at churches, and he would speak on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and normally Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And he would speak about the New Age movement, cosmic humanism, Islam, Freemasonry, occultism. Every night he'd have a different focus. He was an expert on the cults and on the occult. And he tells many stories. He writes about some of them in his books. How when he would go to some of these Baptist churches here in the South, because you can't swing a dead cat here in the South without hitting a Freemason. Many of them are judges and police officers and whatnot. They like to get influential people involved in their club. They're having a hard time as the older generation goes off because some of the younger folks don't have time for it. And they want to be a part of it. But they try really hard. And I have some police officer friends of mine here in town that tell me how they've been lobbied so hard to become, you know, to show up at the lodge. But Ron would tell stories how the deacons of the Baptist church in the South, one of them, I think, was in Georgia. They're like, what we're coming to the pastor's office. We were just out there looking at the resource table of our speaker today, Ron Carlson, and we noticed he's got some stuff against Freemasonry. And you know we all belong to the lodge. Now, these are the deacons of the Baptist church. And I'm not so sure we can have this guy speak. And Ron tells the story of how the pastor said, well, Ron, would you like to respond? And he said, look, all I do is I present the facts as presented by your Freemason authorities like Albert Pike. I'm just quoting them. Why don't you take the literature and go and read it? I'll give it to you for free. Go and read it. And if you can refute anything I'm saying, come back to me and let's have a conversation. The next day, those men came back and met with him and the pastor and said that they had gone over it, spent hours into the night going over the literature that quotes the authorities of Freemasonry, and they said, we cannot refute what you have presented from the authorities of Freemasonry, and we, the deacons, those of us that are members of Freemasonry, are resigning our position in the lodge and getting out. Thank you. One of them said, but we got a problem. They had put the Freemason symbol on the church foundation. At some point along the way, the Freemason symbol had gotten put onto the cornerstone, the foundation, Freemason's cornerstone, onto the church. And we need to get that off. And Ron tells the story how one of the guys says, well, you know, I own a business and I have access to a sandblaster. We can take care of that. And they did. Ron tells the story of another church where the pastor was chided for bringing Ron in. And the pastor, after Ron spoke, on Freemasonry got up and said to the church, you have 1 week to resign from the lodge or get out of this church. You have 1 week to resign from the lodge or get out of my church. Do you know what happened? Ron tells a story that church exploded in growth. The men either left or they resigned from the occult of Freemasonry. And the church exploded in growth. God's blessing, God's hand had been removed from that church, Ron believes. And when those men, particularly those men in that church leadership, got right with how they were living, God restored a blessing on that church and it exploded in growth. Ron tells a story of another time that he was in a church speaking the truth about Freemasonry. And one of the leaders, I think he was the worshipful master, he's one of the leaders of the lodge in that town, slips into the meeting and sits down while Ron is speaking. And at the end of Ron's presentation on Freemasonry, this man who had slipped in gets up and he says in front of the whole church, I want you guys all to know that what this man just said about Freemasonry is a total lie. This man has just stood up there and lied to you about Freemasonry and what Freemasonry is all about. He just lied. It's all lies. And Ron just stood there waiting for the man to finish. And before Ron could say anything, an older gentleman in the church stood up, turned to the man, pointed at him, and called him by name and said, you know that everything that he presented is the truth, and you know it. You know it. I know it because I was one time involved in the lodge with you, and you know it's true. And the man rushed out of the back of the building. Ron could tell story after story, but let me tell you something, folks. The largest denomination in America or association is the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention, I think it was 1993, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. They were going to put forth a resolution. I know one of the pastors out of Ferguson, Missouri that was involved in this. Stoney Shaw, I believe was his name. I've had him on my radio show several times. And we held our Worldview Weekend a few times at his church, First Baptist Church of Ferguson in Ferguson, Missouri. A few years later, the Ferguson riots broke out. Which, by the way, that lie about that Ferguson being, you know, all this separated, that wasn't true because the night that I spoke there and I held my Worldview Weekend rallies there at least twice, the floor was full and the balcony was full and it was a good mix of white and black Americans. So this idea that Ferguson was somehow some kind of separated white from black is a lie because I held conferences there before the Ferguson riots and I remember thinking about what a diverse congregation. And I also remember how very vocal some of the black attendees were that night as I was speaking. And I remember thinking to myself, I love it. I love it. Nothing better than speaking to a group that lets you know they are appreciating what you're saying and agree with you. And it was most of the black attendees. And so it was very obvious the mixture in that room, which was a complete lie from what the media was telling you about how you have this segregated Ferguson, and this is a result of that, of years. Baloney. But Stoney Shaw was one of the guys that was involved in trying to clean out the cult of Freemasonry from the Southern Baptist Convention. And he has been on my radio show talking about it and worked with guys like Ron Carlson. And in 1993, when they tried to put together a resolution at the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination association in America, to condemn the occultism of Freemasonry, the Southern Baptist Convention had so many of its church members show up as what they call messengers so that they could vote. The Freemasonry basically said, red alert, if you belong to a Southern Baptist church, you can go as a representative of your local Southern Baptist church and you can knock down this resolution that's going to condemn Freemasonry. And they were so flooded with so many Masons that the Southern Baptist Convention resolution failed, and what passed was a resolution that certain aspects of Freemasonry are consistent with Christianity. That is the Southern Baptist Convention. And you go look at where the Southern Baptist Convention is today, and it's in the toilet. because God has removed his hand of blessing from the Southern Baptist Convention because they are serving Satan, many of their members and deacons and leaders, by serving in the lodge and putting on the blindfold and opening their shirt and bowing their knee and saying they are lost in darkness and need the light of Freemasonry to save them. And I know well-known national Baptist preachers, when asked about this, would tell their congregations it's a matter of personal conscience. Really? Well, they don't want you to smoke, and they don't want you to chew tobacco, and God forbid you have a little wine with your dinner. They'll come unglued, some of these Southern Baptists. But it's a matter of conscience if you belong to a theological cult? Why would they say that? Because many of them know that their very leadership is polluted with it, and their denomination, I believe, and many a Southern Baptist pastor who has taken this head on has lost their job. And yet, here is the Catholic Archbishop Vigano saying it is a cult. It is rooted in Satanism. And tomorrow night, I will do a whole section on Freemasonry and the occultism of Freemasonry and the presentation by Ron Carlson. And I will quote to you from Albert Pike, and I will give you the foundation of why Archbishop Vigano is warning, just as did former Jesuit Malachi Martin, that the Jesuits and the Marxists, the Masons, would work together to bring about a global religious system. And you wonder why many of our church denominations have lost their saltiness. They have zero, zero cultural relevance as far as their influence on their city or their town or this country when it comes to a biblical worldview, because they have deliberately compromised to a group of people that have not only hijacked their denomination, I believe, the Southern Baptist Convention, they've also now hijacked the Vatican. So what I'm trying to tell you is, what is going on in the Vatican is the same thing going on in the Protestant world as well when it comes to the Marxists and the Masons and Freemasonry and occultism. And you wonder why it ends up being left to people like you and me, the lay people, to try to save this country, because the institutions we once trusted in have been taken over, whether we're talking about the FBI or your local church or your local or your national church denomination. So get ready for a great 2 hours tomorrow night on Freemasonry, jumping off of the comments by Vigano and more comments by him, as well as reading from some of the experts and the very authorities of Freemasonry like Albert Pike. And then you'll understand the world religion that they are implementing.